Welcome to the Pit Stop Podcast,
where we talk about how self-development may actually lead to African development for some.
Where we talk to some students who are studying African studies and to see how they got here,
a pit stop conversation
before they continue their journey.
Today's guest is Amelia, who's a first-year research master's student of African studies at Leiden University.
So, let's get into it. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Amelia Langeol. I'm from Germany. I was born and raised there. My dad is from Guinea-Bissau. I'm 23 years old and I studied global responsibility and leadership as my bachelor and now do my master's in African studies.
Nice. How did you end up choosing that program for your master's?
Okay, so I think it's kind of a trajectory that goes through my whole life. I'm not going to tell you everything now, but I think it's kind of like evolving through my own personal experience that kind of led me here. And it started with school, I would believe, because in high school, a lot of people didn't know things about Africa, about colonialism and the interconnection between Europe and Africa itself. And I saw in society a lot of things changing. For example, we see like right-wing parties increasing and also racism increasing. And I kind of took that upon myself to like talk with my peers and get to know if they know something and they don't know anything. And then I choose my bachelor's because global responsibility and leadership, I didn't know what else to do. And I chose that one because it was kind of interdisciplinary and looked at the future and it was also inclined with sustainability, but also cultural aspects and health. So that gave me like a really broad focus and a really good understanding of different mechanisms that were also occurring on the African continent. And I like linked all my assignments to there. But next to being academia, like in the university, on the individual and personal side, I had kind of the same issues that I had in high school. So people didn't know things, didn't apply perspective change to see, okay, maybe other countries and maybe other people don't need the Western concepts or don't need what we're actually proposing. And yeah, they kind of didn't have the feeling for, okay, this is a different culture, maybe we as Eurocentristic people always just employ our ideas, and they didn't refrain from thinking that way. So I took that upon myself and also like talk with my peers and always like pointed out what's happening. So this led me to here, because after my bachelor thesis was about racism and colonialism in German high school. So do you get to know things about that? Are teachers prepared to actually talk about it, or are they insecure? Which clearly, there's nothing taught about it, and teachers are super insecure, and they also don't get training, which led me here. So now I'm here, and I wanted to, actually, this is also a personal thing that I'm here, because my dad is from Guinea-Bissau, as I said at the beginning, and I know a lot about other countries and the history of some countries, but I haven't, like, myself invested a lot of time to actually study Guinea-Bissau itself, even though this is my direct route and my direct link. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take those 2 years to do something for myself and just get to know my own, yeah, origin and my own roots and, yeah, where part of my identity lies.
Interesting. And then what would you say your time growing up in Hamburg was like?
I think I was living in a bubble. Like, I cannot deny that. I am now reflecting on it. Clearly, my perspective changed because now I'm kind of a youth person or an adolescent looking at my past. But if I would say that I grew up in a bubble and realizing now that I was also kind of racially socialized just by how I behaved in a society of white people. Like, I never felt inferior, but I kind of, yeah, I employed behavior that might have been different if other people looked like me. I cannot pinpoint it directly, but for example, let me quickly think. What did I do? Yeah, I'm always like, I'm tall and I'm loud, and sometimes I just didn't be as loud, like I wasn't as loud and as me as I wanted to, because I always considered the how other people might, yeah, react and understand my behavior. So that might, like, just, yeah, something like that was bad, I think, but just, it was just something normal that I didn't realize at the time.
Right.
And also, for example, in my class, we were in primary school, we were really multicultural, but then when you transition to high school, this multiculturality just is gone. Like, I had four people that looked like me in primary school, and then I moved to high school and I was the only one. Everybody else was white, and like, all the other black people, which were like six, were divided into each class one, so we didn't even have like a community or connection. Just in the breaks we found each other, because that's what you do, right? If you like, yeah, if you want to talk to someone and like, yeah, talk shit about someone as well, you need to go to someone that understands what, where you're coming from. So we kind of found each other in the breaks. But other than that, I was kind of alone in a white classroom for more than 6 years, 7 years. So that is kind of, yeah, that is kind of weird. But because I know it no different, it felt also normal. Exactly.
And did you always realize that you looked different to them? Was that like, was that like a pinpoint moment
realized? Yeah, the pinpoint moment was, like, I came to the fifth grade and we had to make like a presentation, like a poster about ourselves. And you know how I am. I just talk, and also for presentations, I don't really like prepare. But I said something and then I realized, I was like, hey, I'm Amelia and I'm the only black girl in this class. And I legit, I stopped for a second and I was like, fuck, did I really just say that? And is that really the case? Mm-hmm. Like, because like, I just said it, but then I really realized it was the case. So that kind of made me look at my peers and just like, okay. Okay, yeah, awkward. Well, let's just go on. Because I didn't know how to handle it. And my teacher also didn't know how to handle it. And it was never a topic in general.
But wasn't it something that was already subconsciously there?
Yeah, that's why I said it out loud.
Yeah.
Completely. But that, saying out loud, you realize it. And that kind of changes. It didn't change how I felt, but it changed how I looked at my class composition and what people were able to tell me and how they could like understand what I'm saying and where I'm coming from. Yeah, but I grew up in a bubble, so honestly, I only realized those things when I looked at high school in retrospective. Also, when looking at it and saying, okay, I talked about colonialism and the like, Namibia and the Hironama genocide, and I did it because it was close to my heart, because I wanted to know what the Germans did in Africa and everywhere else, so I took that upon myself, but nobody else did. So...
Well, that's a lot of responsibility you take on there.
Mm. But it was heavy. But it was, like, for me, this led me to here. So now I'm glad.
Yeah. And was your experience different in uni during your bachelor's?
No. It was exactly the same. I even had discussions. I analyzed the Black Lives Matter movement in 2018. It wasn't that big as it is now, but like, because I wanted to see the collective group action. How do they mobilize people? How do they actually get so many people to stand up for like the thing that they feel is right? And I was looking into it, and I showed a video and I talked about how racism is, what are the characteristics of racism, how can you pinpoint racism, for example, that it is institutionalized and it only is against non-whites and not against whites. This aspect, like, I think is the one that you always discuss about, and everybody feels offended if you say it to white people, but it's the truth. Still in university, even though you assume everybody knows, we ended up having a discussion of like racism exists against white, and it like went on for 45 minutes.
Like,
and people
racism.
Didn't regard my point. Like, it was a whole class full of white people. Some, like, my teacher was from Turkey, so she was like, she kind of had this discrimination aspect of being a Muslim all the time. So she kind of understood where I'm coming from, but like, yeah, that was just, it was surreal. I thought someone like, you know, it just felt so wrong. How are you in university and don't know this and still want to argue about that point? Like, yeah. No, it wasn't different. It was exactly the same. And that is kind of like the point of institutions, right? Like, university is as much an institution as high school or school. So where are the structures and all the things coming from the fucking same pole? So,
I had the same experience at my university where we were debating about reverse racism, because people were saying that it existed and others were saying that it doesn't exist, and it just ended up being this argument between the whole university. And then you think because you go to a liberal university that everyone's got the same like way of thinking, but that's not always the case. No. And I wanted to ask, because earlier you mentioned that you recently had an interest in your home country in Africa. What sparked that interest? Because it wasn't always there, you said. I wanted to know like what sparked that interest for you.
I think it was always there, but the connection to my dad was not. So, like, yeah, this daddy issue that a lot of mixed people have is real. And he wasn't there for a long time. And I didn't hate it, but I kind of, like, projected my conflict that I had with him also to the continent, and I was just not that much interested in it. But then growing up, I kind of had this, it's not an identity crisis, I would say, but just realizing you being different and having people from different African countries around you, which have different cultures. So, like, I have a lot of Ghanaian friends, which know a lot about their culture, and they have, like, their moms are Ghanaian, so that is more, like, in... they live more in the culture, and my mom is white, so like I grew up only with my mom, so I'm kind of lacking a part and missing like a small part of understanding where I'm coming from. But also, I know it sounds weird, but this generational trauma, like I think that I started to realize now that some of my aspects that I might be reluctant or like have some problems with might not even be my problems, but might be passed on through some things. So yeah, I was just like getting more interested in it. And then I've been to Guinea-Bissau with my mom together one time. I've been together with my mom and my dad. And now I went alone the first time in 2019 on a travel with my dad. And it just made me realize, okay, he's really proud of me. He is proud of me, of being able to show me where he comes from. And, like, also show me his family and how they live and stuff like that. Like, I know it's also my part, but I just felt like an outsider at the beginning. And after a week, I felt like, okay, I'm actually home here, and I feel super comfortable. And like, I don't want to go home, actually, you know, I just want to go back and just be there. So for me, then coming here and having the opportunity to actually do a research there, which might be, I haven't decided on what I'm going to do.
This is your research project for the masters?
For the masters. Okay. I haven't decided on what I'm going to do, but like, I can do something where my dad is involved. I could also do something with the culture of my grandma, because like, we're living on an island, which is kind of cut off of everything, so you still have this cultural preservation there. And because like in history he said there are no matrilinear societies, Guinea-Bissau or Baki Islands are actually said to be matrilinear, so kind of stuff like that makes it really interesting. And yeah, I would just like to know where I'm coming from, and I'm from an island, so that is even like, come on.
Yeah, she's an island girl.
It's called like, they even say it's like the Caribbeans of the west of West Africa, you know, so let's go. Yeah,
That's really interesting. I think that sounds really cool. So what do you want to do with this research project after you finish this master's? Do you want to continue working there, or do you want to move on to something completely different? What are your like goals in that sense? Big question, but also interesting, I think.
I really don't know, actually, but I have different things that I could do, I must say. Like, it depends on what I'm going to do for my research. If I gonna just make an anthropological research, or if I want to rather work as you guys do with an organization, I can still do that as well and then do a research, then I would rather go into the health aspects and maybe look into health, because that might be like a more direct link to something that I can also do afterwards in practice. On the other hand, I have my aunt who tries to make like a how do you call it, when children lost their parents, like a
orphanage,
exactly. She wants to like build an orphanage. She's in Hamburg right now, but she's from Guinea. Mm-hmm. And she talked to my mom about it and was like, I need help, someone. And I'm actually quite good in organizing and having like an overview about things. So I thought maybe I'm just going to lend her my hand. I don't know. I also don't have any like objections or like ideas of earning money, so I can just go, and if I don't have money, that's fine. I just need to, like, you know, buy food. I will live somewhere. Yeah, I don't know, just something like that. Probably not gonna come back.
Interesting. You can also.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question. I was wondering, because you were talking about your experiences in Hamburg and here in the Netherlands. Is it any different now that you're in this program? Or do you still feel the same?
Yeah, true. I was in Groningen before. Just saying that for the record. yeah. I have you guys, honestly. Like, it's not that you are confronted with the topics by yourself and are the only one who might feel that way. But I can see in other people's faces that those reactions are coming up and emotions are coming up, and you don't feel that alone. If I would feel uncomfortable, I could approach anybody of you. And I think that makes me already feel a little bit more secure than in any other place I was before. Like, in Groningen, people are very white. They're very, like, they all look the same. And they have an idea of global, but I also talk to a lot of people that haven't even left the Netherlands and they don't want to, like, they are in Friesland and they like Friesland and they're gonna stay there, and you know, so like this narrow-mindedness is here already different because people come from having studied international relations or something else, so they have a basis, and then they came here and they choose this program because they want to learn something more, and I think that already has like a certain openness to it. And like we had this introduction day and it went really nice, like I didn't expect to like just have good conversation with people without, it's me also, I'm really reluctant in getting new contact sometimes, you know, like I have to talk to people, but it was nice and the conversations were actually, there was like depth in the conversation and it was not larifari, I don't know. So yeah, I think that's, it really changed and people are really interested and also reflect on their own position as being white or as actually coming from the West to go somewhere else. And I think that is really important.
Mm-hmm. And would you say you're happy with the program, how it's going in terms of like the decolonized curriculum?
Yeah, okay, we had that problem. I would say that I think each university should have like a committee that does things like that, which is for like for school it was missing, for University of Groningen it was very a lot missing, and now we had the history curriculum where we saw, okay, it's again the white people, the Western perspectives, and I get that it's a basis where you can start, but then like you have to integrate all the other people as well, and I think that is missing, and I hope that changes, probably on program committee, so let's see.
Whose responsibility do you feel it is?
Not ours, actually. Like, I do think we can provide input and we should have the discussions, but I also think because the professors are there to give us the input, actually, they should provide us a broad basis, right? And especially, like, I get that name dropping is nice, but write the list with names. So I can, like, also go back to the people and know, okay, this are people from Africa where I can actually, okay, this is an African perspective that I can employ and not just some white dude that actually did something about something. You know, so maybe I'm gonna ask if we can have like a list of African, I don't know, academics who are responsible or really like good in their fields, and we can just have like an overview of them, because I don't know who's in economics or who's in cultural studies or who's in sociology, so yeah, maybe something like that as a starting point.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
You got a question?
I don't have any questions.
Okay, so just a big bit of a broader topic. How do you kind of see the continent moving forward? You know, what are your kind of your thoughts on that? I would love to pick your brain on that topic.
Yeah, I'm fully for autonomy and agency, like, and resilience, actually. So for autonomy, so Africa has their own say about their resources. So I think that the AU is like a good way of bringing everybody together. I do not think that they actually have power yet to do anything against the EU or any other global collaborations. I do see the need for it, like, clearly, why would we like benefit from their resources without them actually benefiting from their own? But I do think that more autonomy can only be generated if the whole global system changed, which is super idealistic. I don't think this is happening. So yeah. On the other hand, I think that if African countries would unite and would unite more strongly for like specific ideas and agendas, they could actually do something against it, because you are sitting on the raw materials and you actually have the power to do something if you unite properly, because they are just outsiders and they like, yeah, they have an interest, but you have the interest and you can protect the interest, kind of. So that is kind of one thing. Then agency, I think, okay, instead of us telling always the African continents, they really need to step up their game. They need to step up their game themselves. And that happens also with decolonizing the mind, I think, because even the African people, they, and also this generational trauma, right? You just have it in you that you kind of think that the West is better, or that the ideas that come from there might be more superior, but that is not the case. And I think people also in African countries need to unlearn this kind of thinking. I have a shocking example, like I was working with people in the theater, like I loved working in theaters, and I was in a production from the people from Namibia and South Africa and German people, and they made like an exchange. I wasn't on the exchange, but they went to see yeah, all those horrible sites in Namibia where things happened of the genocide. And the people that actually came from Germany, they had like their grandfathers, and the people were employed in Namibia. So that was legit, like a connection. And the people from South Africa were actually Khoisan, and they called themselves sometimes Bushmen. So like they were actually like their grandfathers and aunties and everybody, they were killed in that sense. So that was really, really hectic. However, this one dude, he's called Jethro, we had conversations, and it was really on an eye to eye level, and I got to along with him very well because I was in South Africa before, so he had kind of like this connection. He can tell me everything, and I talked to him, and I was at some point, I was like, okay, so why are you telling me this, why are you not saying that into like out loud? And he's like, nah, they're not gonna take me serious. I looked at him like, what, where are you coming from? He's like, every time I say something, the white man is not taking me serious anyway. And I looked at him and like, dude, wait a second. We're right now in this like setting where we actually try to like break down those boundaries, and you now building up your walls because you're insecure about yourself. You're insecure about your own thinking. And I think like that just made me realize, okay, there's a lot of like things happening in their minds still, which really has to go, because like, if you have this kind of thinking, I don't think you will ever follow up on your ideas, or you will ever like actually go do something. So that was for me, okay, empowerment is very important, and empowerment is needed in order to have the agency and also generate autonomy. And then on the other hand, I said resilience, because I do think that people always say, yeah, if there's like a problem, you can just like try to restate the normality afterwards. Just don't restate the normality. We don't want to go back to normal, because there were so many things that were already wrong. So I like the concept of thriving. Just like accelerate in what you're doing right now, and don't go back. Never go back. Just always go a step forward and learn from your mistakes. And I think that also like, yeah, colonialism, it's a past process, but I think we can never forget it, because it has a trajectory, and it shaped so much, as we saw in our thinking, but also in this economic order, that we have to destroy it, kind of. But I don't know how, but that is kind of the only thing that we can do. Like, this international order just has to change. Don't know how.
I think you put that very, very nicely.
But yeah.
We'll get there somehow.
Somehow. Yeah. Us. You know, we're sitting here, we're trying something.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. Do you have anything else to say?
That was fantastic, Amelia.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Yeah, thank you. Wow. So, today we learned more about Amelia's journey on how she got to Leiden University to study African studies.
We got to hear about her thoughts on decolonization, how Africa can move forward, and her future plans.
Thank you very much for listening.
And stay tuned for next week's episode of the
Pit Stop Podcast.